What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bitch. Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Bitch. Here I go. Oh.
Read about that in the New York fucking Post.
I'm chilling.
You feeling good?
Oh, I just took a pee. And it felt exactly like the Rainbow Road theme song from Mario Kart 64.
Maybe because you put on the Rainbow Road Mario Kart soundtrack before you went to go pee.
Okay, so it's timed exactly to 2 minutes and 32 seconds. And that was the time I was giving myself to go piss, girl. Like,
you know.
We're still on a time frame, so I'm wasting it with pointless analogs. Analogs? Asides. Monologues.
I don't even know.
Tirades. Okay, I have some news for you.
Oh, yeah?
Are you ready?
Are we ready?
Avril Lavigne is making a Skater Boy movie.
Oh, fucking God. Didn't that song come out like 45 years ago?
Yes, it came out actually 96.
Yeah, 45 years ago, right?
This is from Entertainment Tonight. Avril Lavigne is turning her biggest hit into a film. The 37-year-old rocker spoke with E.T.'s Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner during the 64th Annual Grammy Awards on Sunday and shared where she is at with her Skater Boy film. Well, I don't have my cast yet, so I've been working on it for almost 2 years. Songwriting, making an album takes like 6 months or a year. Making a movie takes like 5 years. I've got a writer and a director, and just in the process of putting all that together. I'm producing it, so it's a whole new learning process for me, and I'm excited to grow and go into a whole new adventure. She doesn't know exactly who the leading man will be, but she has an idea of the qualities the actor needs to have for the role. Are you ready for this?
What? The characteristics? The Skater Boy essence?
This is how she describes the Skater Boy vibes. He just has to have a ton of swag.
Oh, fuck.
We haven't casted him yet, but what's cool is a lot of my friends in music from all different bands, I was saying to, like, some of them, you have to make a cameo.
Oh, this sounds so annoying.
He just has to have a lot of swag.
Is Travis Barker available?
My mom tried to decide if I was gay or not at, like, 5. Maybe he just has a lot of swag.
Is he, you know, full of swag?
Assigned swag at birth. Okay, also, I do want to talk about Kendall Jenner and the toe comments.
Why? What? Are we having foot things on this now?
Yeah, no, there's actually feet? There's actually a lot of foot content on this particular episode. Alexander Skarsgård's foot on the bike pedal. Kendall Jenner's hoof in a sandal. Okay, so this is from Just Jared. Are you ready? I'm going to just read this exactly because it's one of those things where you just have to, like, process exactly what Just Jared tells you. Kendall Jenner is on the defense. The 26-year-old supermodel preemptively defended her feet against toe comments on her latest Instagram post, which she shared on Friday. I'm blocking all toe comments, she captioned the photo, which featured her wearing a vibrant bodycon dress and black platform flip-flops as she posed in a parking garage. I love them, Kylie Jenner wrote alongside the two-foot emojis. Of course, her family didn't stop from making jokes about her feet in the comments section. Khloe Kardashian added, haha, even from me, I love your big-ass toes. Kendall's mom,
oh,
Chris,
God,
wrote, God, I love you. The post even got a response from some of Kendall's friends, like longtime pal Hailey Bieber, who commented, LMAO. Kendall and Hailey were recently spotted on a night out together, and you can see all the photos here.
I just noticed that Khloe Kardashian made these comments in two parts, like one just saying, ha, even for me, and then another comment saying, I love your big ass toes. That is so awful. Also, love the engagement, like 500 replies.
I did click into this, see all the photos of Hailey Bieber.
Not me
Kendall
zooming
Jenner.
Into your toes now. Oh, babe, we're now zooming on the toes.
No, so wait.
Put the dogs away, Kendall.
Sorry. No, so I clicked the Just Jared link to see it, right?
Uh-huh.
And what would you believe popped up but a full screen, unclosable Lindsay Lohan Planet Fitness ad? I was...
I forgot about that. Isn't she doing, like, a show or something also?
On Planet Fitness?
No, it's something weird. She's
at Planet Fitness?
No, she's like narrating like a makeover show for Snapchat. I'm saying all the wrong things, but it's something very weird like this. Okay, tell me what you're going to talk about and I'm going to look this up.
She's going to have a mini series on Selena Gomez's mental health platform. No, that's it. No, I just was going to say I wanted to click.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the photos of Hailey Bieber and Kendall Jenner. I just wanted to see the photos of them. And instead I got a Lindsay Lohan Planet Fitness ad.
Absolutely horrendous.
What would you do if you were in a Planet Fitness trying not to contract ringworm and suddenly you just saw
suddenly trying to meet the ringworm allegations
at Planet Fitness?
Well, that purple paint, you can't see the parasites.
I like taking a photo of my acrylics on the treadmill and caption cleared the ringworm.
Oh god,
what color is my manicure? I think like a bright neon orange. Mm-hmm. like a trash cone orange.
Shady AF comebacks. Okay, there's like four people who know what we're talking about at this point. You could tell the edibles hitting. I found this show, by the way, and it's nothing like I said it was whatsoever.
But... Wait, what was it?
Okay. All hail. I'm going to read the copy from Metro.co.uk because it's funny. All hail.
I get all my news from Metro.co.uk.
All hail the Lohanessence, Lindsay Lohan voicing new Prime Video reality dating series, Love Struck High. So I have no idea how this related to Planet Fitness or Snapchat, but Love Struck is in the... Now listen to this copy. Love Struck High is an immersive reality show that transports 15 UK singles reliving their teenage fantasies in a special American high school setting for a second chance at finding love.
What?
The Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen actress.
Mean?
Will introduce the diverse Love Struck class of 2022 as they try and find the love of their life among their fellow castmates. So yeah, literally, they're taking full 20-year-old British people from the UK and putting them in an American high school diorama set, and they're supposed to, like, I think go to class and, like, do things together in this American-designed high school to find love. And also in a prize of $100,000. Oh, apparently also I think you win the competition by being named prom king and queen at the end.
For the
formal or whatever.
You know that, like...
She's just doing the voiceover, too. I don't think she's, like, the host, actually.
Like, if you want this exact vibe, just go rewatch Sword Art Online or, like, read an isekai. Like, I don't know why you have to, like, role play being in high school again. Like, get a job at Salesforce. It'll do you just fine. Like... Wow. How depressing, right?
It's really a development.
Your beach condo bar gets closed literally almost immediately by the government and potentially investors from countries we won't name here on the podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm still in Kendall Jenner's toe comments.
Planet Fitness ads and a high school dating show. You're still in the toe comments?
Toe, and then foot, a bunch of foot emojis.
Okay, wait. In what way is this like an undercover sneak operation to drive the price of Kendall's feet picks up?
That explains everything. We haven't seen Kendall like on the scene. How's she keeping relevance?
It's the feet.
KnowYourFeet.com. Is that what's called?
The Vanderpump Rules.
There's like the feet we keep.
The Vanderpump Rules cast couldn't sell any feet because Kendall's cornered the market.
Now this is
toes.
This is the same type of hyper fake inflation that we see with NFTs with the feet pics here. That's exactly what's happening.
Kendall Jenner toe NFT. That'll be
some good SEO, though.
Wait, add that to the eating for free NFT gallery in the metaverse. Okay, I also want to talk about quickly what is Carol Radziwill talking about?
God, I almost don't want to talk about it, but maybe we should.
Okay, just briefly give me like the five under five.
Yeah, so Carol Radziwill says it'd be an epic fail if she rejoined the Real Housewives of New York spinoff. Legacy.
We know.
Yeah.
Didn't have to tell me.
I love page 6. The journalist and former Real Housewives of New York cast member, which you know is a part of the agreement they had to make.
Like, journalist?
A person of journalism experience. No, basically,
writing in the Kennedy's private plane doesn't make you a journalist, Carol. Neither does hiring a ghostwriter.
No comment. God, that was such a good era, actually, but not really.
We're not ready to talk about it.
So Carol says, I would not go back. I could not have one more conversation about anything with any of them. Razzwell 58 also confessed that she left the show after 6 seasons in 2018 because it was, quote, affecting my mental health. The fans of the show are amazing and I love them. My beef was always with Bravo and production. Would I ever come back? I would not, but I appreciate the fans' loyalty. Life is a marathon. And you know how I feel about loyalty.
This is the exact energy of Derek Barry. Of Derek Barry tweeting, oh my God, Derek Barry for All Stars 4.
Hashtag Derek Barry for All Stars 4.
Who did this?
Then they search it, it's zero results. Just his tweet.
That's exactly what Carol's giving right now. Like,
or what was that, Rita? Or if I get 10,000 retweets, I'll release my song early and like tweet deleted. Like 1,000 retweets.
Do you ever think about how that was like one of the very first episodes we ever did of the podcast?
Oh my God, was it that
tweet deletion?
Oh my God. Amazing, iconic, legendary.
We've really been on a journey of mental decline.
And now here we are.
Okay, wait.
So, yeah, she also was talking about the Real Housewives. Okay, this is actually really funny. Okay, so on Real Housewives of New York Legacy Edition, she says...
You said it was funny, sorry.
Quote, okay, I don't even get that show. I could see it running for a few episodes, and then where are they going to go with that? It's always going to compete with the show on Bravo because the Legacy show is just going to be on Peacock. I know they're really short on, well, they're struggling to populate Peacock with shows, so I thought it'd be perfect for Peacock, but obviously they had bigger and better plans with the Real Housewives New York Legacy show, she dryly noted. Sorry that
Carol Radswell had dinner
stuttering with it is like
Carol Radswell had dinner with 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, and the Real Housewives backlog, and was like, "You girls look good." Like, I mean, that's all that they have on that app, right? Is it's literally 30 Rock and the Real Housewives.
Oh my God, I'm actually so terrible. When I said that last quote, I thought it'd be perfect for Peacock. I actually skipped a very important detail here. So she actually revealed during this interview that she had pitched her own show to Peacock about her and a group of friends that would renovate homes in upstate New York. Kind of like City Slickers goes upstate, but the network passed on it. That's when she then said, I thought it would be a perfect for Peacock, but obviously they had bigger and better plans through Housewives of New York Legacy.
If they call it Roni Legacy.
They really can't. That sounds so bad.
It's very like Illuminati vibes. Like, okay, also.
Real Housewives of New York Origin.
Is Greta Thunberg okay? What happened?
We didn't even read the article. There's not really much to say, though. Let me pull it up here. We didn't even take notes on it because it's. Sorry.
I nearly ran the over copies. Greta Thunberg, Skarsgård declared. She's how we sell our country now, he added, of his
fellow Swedish
patriot, who also has been nominated 3 times for the Nobel Peace Prize. And I almost hit her with my bike. In a cheeky nod to his latest role in The Northman out April 15th, Skarsgård quipped, Greta is like a modern-day Viking, and like Greta, the Vikings refuse to fly. What is he talking about?
It's like low-key PR for The Northman. That's how I'm interpreting it.
Oh, okay. Let me go back a little bit. I thought that was the beginning of the article, but I'm just extremely inebriated right now on edibles. Alexander Skarsgård admitted that he nearly ran over Greta Thunberg while riding his bike through a recent protest in Stockholm, yes. Sweden. So he rode his bike into a protest?
Through a protest. Clearing each one of them down one by one. Sorry.
The Millie Bobby Brown School of Driving.
And he had Greta, and he was like, oh, this, she's the fellow Swede.
Yeah, no, Greta is when he swerved.
Sorry. I just gave him this copy, too. The Swede swerved just in time, like the play on words. So much.
Yeah, flavor. I was like, what is he talking about?
There's really nothing else in this article, too.
Yeah,
I know.
That was about it. That was about it.
They had that lovely moment.
I'm glad we didn't talk about it in the main episode because Foolish. We didn't even read it, and we're talking about it here.
Okay, wait. I have something I do want to talk about.
Oh, this Todrick Hall story?
Oh, my God. I live. So, like, we don't really talk about Big Brother or Todrick Hall, because did you watch Big Brother this year?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you actually did?
I watched, like, the clip shows that people post on YouTube.
Okay, like, the actual summaries of the 2 million hours of footage.
Yeah, I didn't watch the actual show. I just watched, like, the recaps of it.
What'd you think, though, in general?
Terrible. They all have horrible vibes.
What do you think about Todrick throughout it, though? Because the whole drama, from what I'm hearing, is that he was just evil, fake, and shit.
Well, the whole thing
is, I saw so many clips of him saying wild stuff.
The whole thing is, like, Todrick isn't very public-facing with World of Wonder now, because World of Wonder knew that it was probably going to be caught in the crossfire of, like, having Todrick on recent seasons of things. And so, like, I'm not saying that, like, they've, like, disowned Todrick, and it's been pretty apparent.
He's not been on Drag Race in years.
Multiple Drag Race alumni have, like, gone out of their way to, like, support Todrick through all of this. So I'm not saying that there's, like, some conspiracy at World of Wonder, but I just think it was very advantageous for them to no longer have, like, a direct working relationship with him on the more recent seasons of things. Because, as we saw in the show, he was basically just very flippant about allegations of not paying his workers, of, you know, basically, like, just having really terrible business practices.
Yeah, I remember seeing a clip of him, like, basically trying to justify why he didn't have to pay people that did work for him, because
there was also
make a certain agreement or something.
There was also another contestant who talked about having a home invasion and, like, something the burglar had said to her, like, while her home was being invaded or attempted to be invaded. And he, like, repeated it to her after he eliminated her, and she was, like, walking out of the house, like, basically to, like, trigger her, or, like, just be nasty, you know?
Oh, God.
He also had a thing about Cameo where he admitted that, like, he basically just fakes his cameos and, like, has a, like, scripted response he does for every single cameo.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he, like, he, like, basically made fun of the people who pay for his cameos. He also said something about his tour. He's also been accused of, in the past, of just, like, having horrible, horrible working conditions, people not getting fed, of, like, stiffing workers.
Yeah, I've seen multiple people that have even just recently come out about those exact things, the working conditions.
And also, like, his housing situation has long been a source of scrutiny, as this article, I guess, is proving.
Yeah, so basically it came out this week that Todrick Hall is being sued by his landlord for allegedly failing to pay $60,000 in back rent.
Oh yeah, and we're, like, anti-landlord on this, right?
Oh, absolutely,
like,
still.
Who could give a fuck this landlord is out of $60,000?
No, right, but the gag is that he has been claiming for a while that he bought this home. So I love also Entertainment Weekly just going with the Masked Singer finalist, which I had no fucking idea that was the
How savage is it that you have this, like, storied music career? You know, you have all these, like,
he tours.
Horrible...
I've seen long lines at theaters in Berkeley and Oakland for, like, performances he's done.
Oh, yeah. Like, but also you have these, like, all these, like, terrible music videos you've done, and, like, music parody musicals. You have, like, a singing, dancing career. You've been on, like, RuPaul's Drag Race. You're, like, Taylor Swift's, like, sometimes friend, also choreographer. Really unclear what their, like, direct relationship is.
It's extremely aesthetic.
And, like, all of those things in tandem, and the way that you are described in, like, the premier entertainment reporting magazine of this country is Masked Singer finalist.
Which, like,
I would literally never leave my home again. I would completely disappear from public life. You would never see me again.
It would only could be better if they said the Masked Singer contestant instead, but amazing. So yeah, the Masked Singer finalist is accused of owing $60,000 in back rent to homeowners, Avi Levain and Orna Levain, whom People reports alleged in a March 29 court filing that Hall was to pay $30,000 a month for the house he lives in Los Angeles. So $60,000 in rent is for 2 months. Which I just can't even fucking comprehend. According to documents...
That's... Do you ever just think about
that? No, I know.
That?
It's literally, like, mind-blowing to me. Like, $30,000
a month,
like, in rent.
To me, as someone who's been...
They better fix your shit the fucking minute
broke,
breaks. Like,
like, on what
My rent
planet?
Isn't even a tenth of that.
Would I ever do that if I had money? I would just be like, I'm not spending a dime of this on rent. I could live in this apartment and be totally fine. This apartment's like, what, $1,700? Like,
yeah.
$30,000 on rent. Rent.
I can't imagine having that much money come out of my account every month for rent. It's being burned in front of me. Like, we already know that rent's being burned
it's
in front of me when I pay.
More expensive than owning the house. Like,
well, this house is pretty fucking bonkers. So, real quick, according to the documents obtained by the publication, Hall reportedly failed to pay rent in February and March, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, the landlord said they gave him a 3-day notice on March 3rd to pay the rent or vacate the property. And they're also requesting that Hall covers legal fees related to the suit in addition to terminating his lease with them. Since the news broke, of course, people online have been like, screaming and yelling because of this house video that he released literally in February
we
of 2021.
We talked about this in the server at the time. We yeah. like, had a deep dive on it.
Let me just play the first like 20 seconds of this clip. For context, it's literally just shots of an extremely large mansion in Los Angeles just for, you know, visual flavor.
Excited that you all are here. I have been wanting to buy a home for a very, very, very long time, and this is a dream come true. I saw over 50 homes to decide to get this one, and when I saw this one, I fell in love. I'm talking about that like Ali and Noah notebook kind of love. But here, come inside. The water fountain's a little loud.
They die in the end.
And like he
of that movie.
Wait, what?
Their death is like a central theme in that movie, like death, decay, and destruction. So pretty fitting. No, yeah, I've seen this video, and what's
it was like very like, look, check out my house, well, look how rich I am. He doesn't literally say he bought the house though.
As it was reported at the time by you and I, the other thing about that house tour is that it's shot almost shot for shot like an Architectural Digest home tour video. That it was basically like I couldn't get the Architectural Digest spread for my rented home because it's rented, so I'm doing my own video instead. Because AD, I'm not saying that AD has some like series of fact checkers, but like they're not gonna shoot your rented home, sorry, like for the cover, like they're not gonna do it.
Well, we've talked about before, and I don't think it's really like a secret or a reveal that Architectural Digest shoots homes for promotional material because they sell within like 30 days of premiere.
No one's banking on that $30,000 a month except the landlords.
Like, I mean, like we've seen Selling Sunset, but celebrities lived in a home, it's a big point. Like,
well, oh, I did
Cara
see,
Delevingne used to live here.
I'm like in no way comparing these two for like any particular reason. It's just someone who bought a house recently, but there was a series of TikToks that I was watching about like different home prices, and someone pointed out that Lil Nas X bought a house recently that was like $5 million.
Yeah,
and you know Lil Nas X has like the biggest song in the country, is like one of the most famous people on the planet right now, at least in America. Huge, 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 like has one of the highest selling songs of like human history. And buys a house that's $5 million, right? So, like, who is Todrick Hall to buy a $10 million home? Like, who are you, right?
Okay, and, like, just doing math that I can guarantee is correct here, $30,000 a month for 12 months is $360,000.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's a, I mean, funny thing is, it's like a down payment on, like, a small house at this point in California. But, like you just said, how are you going to live in a house that's probably worth tens of millions of dollars?
The other thing is, I mean, I would like to
know.
And
also, where is he getting $30,000 a month from?
LA has high property taxes because of, like, property taxes in LA are, I mean, in just California in general.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not, like, saying that they're low.
Oh, and if your house is that, if your house is, like, $30 million, you're paying, like, $1 million in just on staff upkeep at that point, which is very, like, rich people things.
What I was
going
to say is, you know, even having a mortgage for that, like, I don't know, I don't want to do the math off the top
terrifying.
Of my head, but even just having a mortgage, it seems like next to impossible. I mean, we know housewives whose husbands reportedly make hundreds of millions of dollars and their homes are like $5 million.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't imagine, like, in any what world. I don't think people believed it at the time, but this is certainly not a good look. However, I did see this, again, those TikTokers, you know how bad they are at having opinions. Somebody was, like, in the comments of one of the tweets, they were, like, riffing on this person who was like, wait, are we seriously, like, cheering on landlords? And the person's like, we're not cheering on landlords. We're just cheering on the fact that he's going to get his comeuppance for scams. And I'm like, is that your takeaway here? That, like, he needs to get punished for this. Like, nobody was hurt. I'm sorry. If you have a house you're charging $30,000 in rent for, you're not wanting for money. I don't care that you weren't paid. And I don't think there needs to be any, like, crime against Todrick for, like, not paying this. But it is funny to watch people.
Well, they're definitely going to evict his ass. That's for sure. Well, yeah.
But all the, like, crime podcast poisoned people on the internet who are like, he needs to go to jail for not paying his rent.
I'm absolutely not.
That's the takeaway you have from all of this? Like,
no, literally, those landlords are going to be just fine.
I'm telling you, absolutely landlord propaganda fine. Is amongst the most strong in this country. If landlords had a flag, we would salute it every morning.
They're trying to, you would think, actually. I do love that there's also this little blurb about how he had, like, gotten robbed, I guess, last year in July of 2021, where he had, like, $50,000 worth of, like, possessions stolen. And it's just kind of funny now because, like, if he had to, like, go through insurance, it must have been renter's insurance, right? Yeah, like, totally. At this point.
Absolutely. I would love to know what you're
Can
claiming.
We get the renter insurer on the line? Like, bring him well, on the pod.
I would love to know if you
I
are
want
renting,
an itemized receipt of
if
what
you're
he
renting
lost.
A $10 million home, like, what is that insurance payment like, right? Because, like, those premiums cannot be low. I was also going to mention this, and we are going to just be very brief about it because it concerns domestic violence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want everyone to know, like, you can skip the rest of the podcast if you're not interested in a story about domestic violence or, like, it's just not something you want to sit through. We're going to wrap up after this anyway, so just go ahead to feel free, like, pause it now. Like, no one's feelings are going to get hurt. Protect yourself. But it did come out this week that Mike Shahed from Shaws of Sunset got arrested for domestic violence in LA. We're not going to go through the, like, details of the timeline. It's not really important for us to repeat the police's words, nor do we need to, like, graphically describe anything. But the basics are that on Monday, West Valley officers responded to a call of unknown trouble at approximately 10 p.m. He was then arrested for intimate partner violence with injury, which LAPD public information officers explained is another legal term for domestic violence. It is used when there is visible injury on the victim. A description of the alleged victim was not provided, thank God, because, again,
no one needs that.
Nobody needs to know who this happened to. I mean, in terms of, like, this person should have a right to not be identified in the press. I truly believe that.
Absolutely.
But for context, because he is a public figure, he is currently dating a woman named Paulina, who he met through Straws of Sunset. Him and Paulina, you and I have watched the more recent seasons. Him and Paulina have had a troubled relationship on the show.
Girl.
It's been mired by accusations of infidelity. As well as Mike having a temper and control issues.
Like, coercion of lies.
Yeah. And, you know, he's been accused of being a pathological liar by not just his partners, but also just by his cast members. And it has been a recurring thing in his relationships that he is not a good person to be in a relationship with. And at the most recent reunion, a lot of people had made a comment that Paulina seemed to be under duress for the reunion.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course, people are speculating, rumors are running wild, but I don't think it is necessary unless this person wants to be identified, nor do I think it is pertinent for there to be, like, a name and a face. Like, it's just,
no,
it's nobody's business but this person's to, like, share the most horrible thing that's ever happened to them with everyone in the world. However, it's currently unclear what's going to happen with Mike. He was charged with corporal injury on a spouse or cohabitant, which is a felony, and he is now, I guess, out on bail,
it seems. It was like $50,000 he paid it. Like, yeah. Someone paid it by the end of the morning or something.
So that's basically all we know, and I think that that's about it we need to say. We do talk about Shaws of Sunset a lot, and we've talked about Mike
It's
before,
really sad, because,
so.
I mean, like, honestly, out of all the Bravo shows, that's one of those casts where I'm like, I really like them, and I really kind of want the best for them out of most
I know,
of,
I do want
the
best for MJ.
Bravo shows, like, they're people who, like, genuinely are friends, and have been friends for long before the show, and have, like, all very real lives that are separate from the show, honestly, and are interconnected. And yeah, it's really sad to see Mike do this. I'm upset. It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it's horrible. So our prayers, thoughts, and love go out to the victim, and I think everyone should just stay out of this person's business. I don't
honestly
think whoever it is needs, like, the internet trying to play Sherlock Holmes about their trauma. Let's get going.
Yeah, we're going to get that we going, have
threat.
Girl.
I know that there is a threat of $125 credit card charge.
Why do we have to make deposits to go out to dinner? It's so fucking stressful. And it's not even like an expensive restaurant. Okay. I've seen the menu. It's not even that expensive.
I will say, like I get like... restaurant. I get, like, wanting to not be, like, totally fucked over.
Yeah, overbooked and shit. Yeah. With, like, all these
things. I get that. Like, my husband works in restaurants. I totally can imagine that there's, like, scenarios where people just, like, you have to plan for people to, like, come in and make certain kinds of food.
Yeah, exactly. They literally will budget out the food based off how many people are booking.
Totally get that. But also...
It's like, goddamn.
Damn.
They're like, if you cancel within the day...
homosexuals that want to get tapas, like...
just want like that little chicken dish they got or something. Oh, it looked good. I was gonna look at the menu.
Yeah, I just want to eat my paella with my girlies. Like,
I know. Oh my god.
Okay, let's get out of here. So Matt's gonna be on vacation this weekend, leaving me behind.
Kind of for like a minute.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be doing a live stream, which you will all know about because I'll post about it on Patreon on Twitch on Saturday at. What is it?
12 p.m. Yeah, PST.
Noon Pacific Standard Time. We're gonna be. I'm gonna be doing a live reading of Erica Jane's like new lawsuit against her. We didn't talk about it in this episode because I wanted to save it for
it's
that.
It's literally so much.
I'm gonna do a live reading of the entire 44-page document as well as just like colored commentary throughout. You can come. You can laugh. You can hang out. I'm gonna be recording that also so that we can release it separately as like a bonus episode through Patreon. It's just going to be me. So if you want to come, you want to vibe, you want to listen to me read this like complex legal document to you, like a bedtime story, come through. It's pretty intense. The new lawsuit, like it goes
racketeering.
Yeah. We use words like criminal enterprise. So
front woman.
Yeah. Then we should be back next week. I'm excited. It's like a lot of things going on in the news right now. I got
too
tagged.
Many things.
I got actually. Tagged in a story we need to put another pin in, which is the alpha chat between Gwyneth Paltrow, Reese Witherspoon, and other A-list women.
Oh, that like exclusive Illuminati
to like
third eye
trade
chat.
NFTs.
I think they used to call it like collusion, like financial collusion.
Yeah,
before.
Didn't Martha Stewart go to prison
Isn't
for
this, like,
it?
Inside like, trading or something?
Can you imagine?
Now it's just girl bossing.
Can you imagine if Reese and Gwyneth go to jail for NFT insider trading?
I mean, until where it's regulated, that's literally what it
I'm
is.
I'm sure they'll be fine. I'm sure they have pottery in celebrity girl boss prison. Like,
prison in the metaverse, like sentenced to 200 years online.
I mean, it's just a med spa somewhere in Valley Village. Like, okay, let's get out of here. Do you want to count me down?
Yes. 3, 2, 1.
Hi. My name is Selena Gomez, and I'm here to help people who have feelings.
So I'm almost going to say I'm your toilet that's running every fucking time. You didn't close
Hi,
the door.
My name is Selena Gomez, and I'm looking out for the vibes.
Come on, you know the words. Let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Here I go. Oh.